Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, May 12th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 56, the fifth paragraph, starting with, "Thus was our friend's cornerstone," reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Audrey M.P. Reader of the text, we have Shelley E. The reference number for Tuesday, May 11th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,923. That's 16923. And for this morning, Wednesday, May 12th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 16,928. That's 16928. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Kaylee R., and Leslie M. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA and to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you very much for introducing me. Always a pleasure to do service. Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will in our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. And I'll now ask Audrey M.P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Audrey. Star 1, Audrey.
Good morning, Dawn B. Good morning, Team Wednesday. This is Audrey M.P. from Southern California. I'm a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater, and these are the steps of overeating. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become 2. traditions. These are the 12 traditions. Oh, Audrey, I have the page open. I'm so sorry. I'm taking up time.
That's okay. If you don't have it, we'll have Penny LC read the 12 traditions.
Penny, do you have it in front of you? Just because
I'm available.
Well,
okay, go ahead, Penny, please. That's okay, Audrey. We'll have Penny do it. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read, and we are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 56, the bottom of the page, the fifth paragraph, that starts with, "Thus was our friend's cornerstone," reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And I'm now going to ask Penny LC to read that paragraph for us and get us started. Good morning, Penny. Thank you so much. Penny LC, please press star 1.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Don. Would you please repeat the paragraph for me?
Sure. Thank you so much, Penny, for jumping in, and we really appreciate you. It's page 56, the bottom of the page. It starts with, "Thus was our friend's cornerstone fixed in place."
Great.
And thank you so much. One paragraph only. Thank you so much.
You bet. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Thus our friend's cornerstone fixed in place, no later vicissitude has shaken it. His alcoholic problem was taken away. That very night, years ago, it disappeared. Save for a few brief moments of temptation, the thought of drink has never returned. And at such times, a great revulsion has risen up in him. Seemingly, he could not drink, even if he would. God had restored his sanity. Oh my gosh, what a powerful paragraph. So, we start out with the cornerstone. And we know from earlier in the chapter that that is his second step, that foundational decision or choice to be willing to come to believe. And therein lies the cornerstone. I've come to understand is it's a directional necessary block in a building to keep it square, so to speak. So it's really important. And as is my choice to come to believe. And the beautiful part of that is that God takes that and does amazing things with it. That willingness blossoms into a willingness to turn my will and my life over, which we're going to learn further ahead. But in this case, I'm just willing to be open-minded and seek. And with that as well, and an honest remembrance of where I've come from, I'm able to begin to change myself. And the change is amazing. God had restored his sanity. Oh my gosh. I know God has restored my sanity. My life is very different today, thanks to this journey. And thanks to finding a God of my understanding that I could connect to and trust and rely daily, each moment of the day, throughout the day. And been relieved of the desire to compulsively overeat is absolutely a miracle. But it has come true, as well as many of the promises, and this is one of them, that we will be restored to sanity. Those of you who are seeking and are new, trust the process. Allow yourself to be open and willing, and miracle can happen for you as well. And with that, I'll pass.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much, Penny L.C., for stepping up and doing that. Thank you. And I'm now going to be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Kathy.
Was that Catherine C?
Kathy Z.
Kathy.
Kathy V.
Leia Z.
V is in zebra. Thank you.
France N.
Okay, France N.
Leia
Sandy
D.
Sandy K.
Roz.
Okay,
G.
Leia B. Okay, hold on 1 second and let me give you the names that I got, and then we can see if I missed anybody. I have Catherine C, Roz G, Kathy V, France N, and Leia B. Did I miss anyone there?
Sandy K.
Sandy K.
Brit V.
Stephen G.
Bridge.
Brit V.
Oh, Brit Z. Okay, let's stop there, please. Kathy C., Roz G., Kathy V., France N., Leah B., Sandy K., and Brit Z. And I'm sorry if I missed you. We'll catch up on the next round, so please announce your name after this. So we'll start with Catherine C. Thank you so much. Good morning, Catherine. Please let us know where you're calling from. I hope I heard a Catherine.
I'm thinking this might be me. This is Kathy Z from Duval, Washington.
Okay, go ahead, Kathy.
Okay, thank you so much, Dawn. Thank you for your service and letting me share. I am happily recovered and so grateful that I have sanity around the food. These past two paragraphs that we've read are very powerful and filled with hope and miracle, and I just for me it's I live a life of expectation. I spent so much time and always expecting that things are supposed to be this way and they're supposed to be that way, and then from those expectations and things not happening my way, my selfish ways, then I would end up in resentments, and then I would end up in the food. And so for me, when I hear these past two paragraphs of this fantastic miracle of God just coming into his life and completely, just blessing him with that white light and completely transforming his life forever, I think about the fact that it's so awesome that our higher power, or for me, God, speaks to every single one of us in our own individual way. And that I have to remind myself that that relationship that God has with me is with me. It's with Kathy. The relationship that God has with Dawn is with Dawn. And he is beyond my comprehension in how he communicates with me and how he shows me the truth that he needs me to see in order to help me transform my life to be able to be equipped to do his will. And so with this, I can so appreciate and be filled with hope from this story. But I also have to remember that my story is a little different and everyone else's story is a little different. I didn't have that white light experience that was just, within a matter of minutes, this major transformation. But, God can do that, and he does do that with people. And so today I just rest in that hope and believe in the miracles that that God has for me and for everyone else, and just revel in the beauty and see those things unfold. And ask him to take charge of those expectations and keep them at bay and just anticipate how he's going to work in my life as he continues this transformation and restoration that he's doing. And I'm just so grateful today to be able to share and wish everyone a wonderful rest of the week and blessings to you all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathy V. And now we're going to have Roz G. followed by France N. Good morning, Roz. And please share where you're calling from.
Okay. Well, good morning, and I'm Roz, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Palmdale, California. It's Los Angeles County. And so I wanted to focus on his alcoholic problem was taken away. Taken away, not given up, because I tried to give up, and I use that term. I gave it up. And every time I gave it up, I took it back. And so I don't think I've shared on a meeting since Mother's Day, at least a Vision for You meeting. Don't think I have. And on Mother's Day, at my church, they were giving away carnations and chocolates to every mom. And the pastor made some jokes about how women love chocolate. And, you know, I did not want a chocolate. And then I went to my Saturday night small group after service, and there was chocolate sitting on the table, and I didn't want one of those either. And those were the Dove ones, and those I used to just love. I used to hide Dove candy in my my dresser drawer. And over time, the desire for chocolate has been taken away, but it wasn't taken away out of me just sitting and doing nothing. It was taken away as a result of the step work that I've done, that I've, you know, worked with other people and worked with a sponsor and had a food plan and a prayer and meditation every day and honesty, all these things, and asking God to remove my character defects. Please, God, take them away. And, you know, God does take them away, because in the past few days I've been, you know, tempted to gossip about people, and there's something inside of me that says, don't do that. You're going to end up having to do it, all these step work over it. So God is restoring me to sanity with food and with my behaviors, the actions that I take, and that I want to live in the virtues of life and not the character defects. But I'm human, and they're going to come up, but I have tools to combat them. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Roz G. And now we'll have France N. share with us, followed by Leah B. Good morning, France.
Good morning, fellows. Am I being heard, Dawn?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, good. I have trouble sometimes. My name is France N. I'm a New Yorker living in Willian, Alabama, and I am a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety. What this paragraph, it really spoke to me today. The cornerstone, it gave me a positive outlook because I am abstinent, that I know that the cornerstone was there for me. I had a break in my food plan in between my three meals or four meals a day that I eat this past week. And this has shown me that how my disease progressed. And I'm very, very grateful that I could see that. I could see that God gave me quite a long time. There was only a couple of things on that food plan that were questionable, and I was not honest about it. They were not in any of my alcoholic foods, but they triggered the allergy slowly but surely. Also, besides the allergy, the building blocks of my building were being broke down slowly but surely. I had been abstinent on my food plan for about 4 years. And the fear is what has contributed to the breakdown. The fear is so big over doing everything, you know, 10-step, 12-step, that it just overpowered me, and it prevented me from being honest, which just spiraled the shame and guilt. And I am so, so grateful that this break was only short-lived. I don't know, but I'm sure people that are abstinent can only know, I guess, that feeling of having long-term no grazing behavior and suddenly opening the refrigerator, seeing a bowl of small little round things that dogs can't eat, and thinking, I'm thirsty, oh, I guess I'll have a few of these. How insane. So anyway, I needed to share that. I needed to say hello to Dawn before the meeting started, and I needed to speak. And I'm just ever, ever so grateful to God and to the people that I did speak with this past week. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, France Ann from New York. And now we'll have Leah B. followed by Sandy K. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning. It's Leah D, like David. And that's okay.
Oh,
very good. That's right. I don't want everyone else to. It's Leah D from.
Leah, press star one. You accidentally got muted. Sorry about that.
Oh, I don't know how that happened. I didn't touch anything. It must be God. So the paragraph really spoke to me. And as she was reading, the thing that hit me was, I understand what cornerstones are, and I understand what foundation is based on my background and things that I understand and how solid a foundation really is. And without a good foundation, you can't build on it. It just doesn't work. And for me, the important part is not that the food is down, which I don't take for granted. But for me, the important part is that it's not running around my head like a squirrel. And I'm in program a lot of years. I'm in program 47 years, most of my life. And I'm only recovered, really, I am recovered now 5 years. Because before that, the steps were not lived the way they live today. Today I have a PhD in Big Book and I keep studying. And the fact that I can sit here and say, wow, where did that go? Like, where did that go? And the fact that it doesn't even cross my mind that food is or could have ever been an option. I don't understand it. Not that I don't like my food, and not that when I eat good food, it tastes good. And, you know, a 4 ounce portion of hamburger, when they're delicious, doesn't mean you want three more. The real world eats extra, quote unquote, fuller meals. You know, you go to a good steakhouse. I kid around. When a friend was going to the steakhouse, I said, well, if you go, you can have four meals out of it. That's reality. You know, that's the other side. But I'm talking about the hardcore compulsion, the desire to eat, the need to fill it up, that emptiness, that choking in my throat. My gratitude for that is solid. I'm so blessed that there is a solution and it really works, and a cornerstone, and that it was removed. It was not only removed, I did the work. I had it cut out. I made sure I did it, and I have to stay a part of this group in any way, shape, or form to know where God is and know that my 12 steps is what carries me through from moment to moment, not having to go back and want that feeling. It's the feeling that was so devastating, you know, controlling the action. That's very painful. And I wish you all a great day, and thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you so much, Leah D. And now we'll have Sandy K. followed by Britt C., and then I'll be opening up the lines. And if you're joining us now, we are on page 56, and we're talking about the fifth paragraph there at the bottom of the page that starts with, "Thus was our friend's cornerstone," reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. So Sandy K., will you share with us now? Good morning, Sandy.
Hi, this is Sandy K. from South Florida, a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of my HP. It's the only way I can describe it. I really like this paragraph, but I wanted to share because I wanted to say that it said he had brief moments of temptation that the thought of drink hadn't returned. I'd like to say that, but that's not true. In the 37 years that I have been in program, I had stepped away from my higher power twice. And the last time I did it, it was for quite a while. It was probably, I don't know, I'm bad with time, but let's say two or three years. I've been back now for longer than that. But when I get a temptation today, now that I've joined Vision, even, listen, I was 25, 27 years abstinent, just regular OA. But the point is that when I stop doing something, eventually I leave my higher power behind, and then normally food is the last thing to go. There are times now that every once in a while, very rarely, but every once in a while I have a temptation to eat. But by the grace of God, I have enough program in me, and I have worked the steps and the tools that I know what I have to do so I'm not tempted. So as soon as I am irritated or I'm restless or I'm angry or whatever it is, I have to do something about it. Usually it's a 10-step, but sometimes it's just talking to my higher power. The point is that this program has replaced my old tools that really didn't work. I mean, it helped me survive, but they really didn't work for me. They weren't healthy, with very healthy steps and tools. And that, to me, is the miracle. I don't know if I'm restored to sanity, because I'm not really sure if I've ever been sane. I guess maybe when I was in elementary school. But I certainly am sane today, and I really love my life. It's not perfect, but I love my life, and I love my program, and I'm going to pass.
Thank you so much, Sandy K. And now we'll have Britt Z share with us, and then I'm going to be opening up the lines. Good morning, Britt, and please share where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Britt V in New Mexico. I am a recovering compulsive overeater, and today is my one-year anniversary of abstinence. And I'm very excited about that, and I am extremely thankful to A Vision for You and for the mission of using the big book as a textbook. And I'm extremely grateful also to my sponsor, who has just been a miracle in my life. The end of this paragraph, God had restored his sanity. And what I wanted to share is, like many of you, I have a trauma history from when I was a child. And when I was going through the fourth step with my sponsor, and it said, what would God have me be? I kept writing things about what God would want me to do. And she said, no. What would God have you be? And now that I understand that, and I do that every day when I'm doing 1, 2, 3, however many 10 steps are required, I really think about that. And the thing that I always conclude with is that God would have me be observant. God would have me be trusting. And I'm learning that one of the ways that I express that trust in God is by valuing myself. That is the greatest gift I think I've gotten from this program, is valuing myself. And so I think I maybe there's temptation maybe once a month now, but it's not a real temptation. I'm able to deal with it. I just go do a 10 step, pray about it, give it away. But that is the gift to me, is that I'll see those foods now and I say, God would have me be trusting, God would have me be reliant, and God doesn't want me to treat myself like trash because I'm his child, like all of you, like everyone on this planet. I am his child, and I don't deserve to be treated poorly. And that's just been the best gift of this program, and I am so grateful to all of you and to your service and to your presence. I listen as often as I can, and I'm very grateful for you all. Thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Britt V. Now I'm going to be opening up the lines to take some more names, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Stephen G.
Stephen G. And there was another name in there I missed. Was it Becca R.? Who else would like to share?
Donna B.
Donna B.
Sherry H.M.
Sherry H.M. Okay, let's start with that lineup. We have Stephen G., Donna B., and Sherry H.M. Go ahead, Stephen, and please share where you're calling from.
Good morning. My name is Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Thank you for your service today. This chapter to me is not telling me to believe in God. It's telling me to open my mind to the possibility of that. And it gives several examples throughout the chapter over and over and over about why I should open my mind. But it's not telling me to believe. As a wise and popular AA speaker said, I wouldn't expect you to believe at this stage because God hasn't done anything for you. Once God does something for you, then you're going to believe. Then you're going to have faith. And in this particular story, the elements that are necessary for this person to have faith, and I saw that in my life as well, is that I needed complete and total deflation. No other options except to go on until the bitter end. And then I had a person like this man who came and in whom the problem had been solved and explained to me the nature of the disease and that I was doomed. And when backed into a corner like that, as it says repeatedly in the book, alcohol beat me into a state of submission. Compulsive reading beat me into a state of submission. So now I was willing to open my mind and take specific actions, which I needed to take to unblock me from this power. And when I did that, it became clear that this thing exists. It really doesn't matter what I call it, but it's interested in me, it's powerful, and it's loving. And then I had faith. Now, I didn't have the same sort of dramatic effect as this man did, but it was a gradual thing. And then the cornerstone was in place. And things that came to me afterwards that were difficult, I was more able to tolerate them than before. As he says, later vicissitudes didn't affect him the way they did before. And so I'm very grateful for this chapter, but I have to remind myself, it's not telling me to believe. It's telling me to open my mind. And when I do that and take specific action, then I get the result. And then I have faith. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much, Stephen G. from Canada. And now we'll have Donna B., followed by Sherry H.M., and then I'll take a couple more names after that. We are on page 56, the fifth paragraph, starting with, "Thus was our friend's cornerstone," commenting on that one paragraph. Good morning, Donna. Please share with us.
Good morning. This is Donna B. My first name is spelled D-A-N-A. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic calling from Denver, Colorado. And I'd like to take this opportunity to share something that that I've learned is very helpful for people. When I, my process to abstinence began with abstaining from my alcoholic food ingredients. And although I was abstaining from those alcoholic food ingredients, every 3 to 4 weeks I would have an episode of volume eating where I would just eat a ton of food, which was permissible on my food plan. One of the stories that gets a lot of chuckles is I ate an entire chuck roast one night, and I called that my menage a trois with Chuck, since I'm also married. And about over 3 years ago, I met a sponsor who said to me, "You're not abstinent." And she really helped me to get honest about that. And I put down the volume eating, and it was the hardest thing that I ever did. And for months, every night between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m., I would have to reach out to people and say, "I have the desire to volume eat." And I would text, I would call, I would put on message boards, just so that I could not be alone with my disease, just so that I would not be alone with the thinking. I was praying, too. I was asking God to relieve me of my obsession with food, but I was also reaching out to people. It's been over 3 years, and I will say that there are still times between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. that I have the desire to volume eat. I do believe that I live in a recovered state, and I also believe that this disease is extremely powerful, cunning, and baffling. And I do what I've done the last 3 years. When a desire to volume eat comes up, I hear it. I hear the thought, and I know how powerful it is. I know that thought has the power to kill me. And I don't play games with myself where I think I can handle this, or if I pray hard enough, it'll go away, or that God will swoop in and save me from the thought. I reach out to my fellows. I put the light on the thought. So I know that it's controversial. I faced that controversy myself, in which there was a belief. And with that, I'll end just by saying that even if the thoughts come up, it doesn't mean there's something wrong with you or your program. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. And now we'll have Sherry H.M., and then I'm going to be opening up the lines. Good morning, Sherry, and please share where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M. calling from Mount Vernon, Washington. And it's just so grateful to be on the line. My favorite part of this is his alcoholic problem was taken away. And gosh, on August 17th, I met with a friend from Al-Anon, and she told me, you know, she shared with me her experience, strength, and hope about food. So on the way home from Starbucks, I just threw up my hands, so to speak, and I said, okay, God, I just don't get this. I can't do this. I've tried so many times, and I can't. You're going to have to do it for me. So through that, and of course, working the steps and a vision for you, getting a sponsor and, you know, sanitizing my heart, right? That's really what it's about. Then God has given me abstinence, and the problem has been taken away, and it's such an absolute miracle. Every once in a blue moon, I have like a fleeting thought, and I know, okay, I spent all year sanitizing my hands like 4,000 times a day, so time to look, sanitize my heart. What are my fears? What are my resentments? So it's just a great reminder of I can't, God can. I think I'm going to let God and trust God, clean house, and serve others. And I thank you so much for your service. Okay, have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you, Sherry H.M. from Washington. And now I'm going to ask for a couple more names. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And we are commenting on page 56, the fifth paragraph, starting with, thus was our friend's cornerstone. So who would like to share on that paragraph?
This is Anne-Marie M.
Let's try that again.
Anne-Marie M.
Anne-Marie M.
Yes.
And who is the other name?
Becca R.
Okay, Becca R. And Becca, if you could get a little bit closer to your, take out any headphones or anything so we can hear you a little better. And we'll start with Anne-Marie M., and please let us know where you're calling from. Good morning, Anne-Marie.
Hi, good morning. This is Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina. And through God's grace, I've been I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, so I'm very grateful for that. I just heard about someone saying that, you know, if the thought comes to compulsively eat, it doesn't mean that I'm not recovered. And I had made that mistake a few different times during my times of being recovered and then slacking off, putting other people in front of me, putting my sponsors in front of me, and then going back to compulsively overeating slowly but surely. So I don't want to make that mistake again. If there's something going on with me, I need to let my sponsor know about it. If I feel like compulsively eating, it doesn't mean that I am a bad person. I thought that for so many years, you know, until I got to my first OA meeting, I thought I was a horrible person because I compulsively overate. And I was just grateful to know, to learn that this is a disease. So many times, you know, when I was in, you know, recovered, and I would think I felt like compulsively eating, and I would use the tools, but I didn't do the work. And for me, I see there's a difference. Right when I first started coming, I used the tools to get to a point where the obsession had left me, until I could get into working the steps, and then the obsession left me. I don't do that now. If I have a thought that comes up that I want to compulsively overeat, I call my sponsor, and there's usually something going on with me. So, you know, a 10-step that I left aside, something that I maybe thought wasn't all that important. And that was another thing that I did repeatedly. I've had something that bothered me, somebody that did something that I didn't like, and I shrugged it off, and I thought, it's no big deal. I don't need to, you know, do a 10-step on this. I'm just going to ask God to remove it, and I'll just get on with my day. But towards the end of the day, it was still bothering me, and I would think, you know what? I'm just not gonna deal with that. I'm going to go to bed, and that's it. And so a buildup of those over time often led me to compulsively overeat. But if a thought comes to mind that I want to compulsively overeat, if I don't get in touch with my sponsor, I have a network of people, and I'm so grateful for that. That was also another very important part. That is an important part of my recovery now, is to have a network of people that I can call and talk about what's driving me to compulsively overeat. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Anne-Marie M. And now we'll have Becca R. Please share and tell us where you're calling from.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for hearing me. My name's Becca R., calling from Kentucky. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm so grateful to be on the meeting this morning. I had a baby just a couple weeks ago, and it's been kind of chaotic trying to get to the meeting, but I was inspired to share this morning, hearing that word cornerstone, and I just am so full of gratitude this morning. Coming on the other side of my pregnancy through being abstinent and recovered. And I just think about how important it was in that beginning for me years ago, where I remember reading that with my sponsor and thinking, I want a program that's going to work and hard going. I want to be able to be free on any day of the week through any circumstance. And if you had told me 3 years ago that I would be able to stay abstinent through a pregnancy, I would have laughed. Like, no way. I can't do that. That would be too hard. And here I am, you know, coming on the other side of it and connected and plugged in. And I had a call with a friend this morning, and she recently found out she was pregnant, and she's already struggling with the food and the dysmorphia and how am I going to do it? And I could just feel the grace of God upon me. Like, oh, this is how I can use that experience to help someone else. And again, I'm just so full of gratitude that I was able to build that cornerstone. When I came to program, I had one kid, and she was in school, and we were doing this huge home renovation. So we were living in a hotel for weeks, and it afforded me this opportunity to just have time, and I did the work, and I would take my daughter to school, I would go back to the hotel, and I would write, and I would read, and I would listen to podcast after podcast, and I just am so grateful that God afforded me that time to build that cornerstone that is so solid through a relationship with Him as a result of these steps. That's all I have this morning. I pass.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Becca R. from Kentucky. And we'll now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. But stick around. We're going to be having some important announcements and giving newcomers and sponsors a time to leave their phone numbers. So now we're on page 164, and we're going to be reading that. Shelley E. will read that for us, and then we'll be following that with the Serenity Prayer. So Shelley E., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning. Good morning, Dawn. Great job today. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater, either in northern Michigan for the next 6 months. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.